Now, Chris Oakes did a great job last week. He did a great job. I thought he did a super job. But he made a big deal about how short his sermon was, so not to be outdone. Yeah. Not to be outdone. My sermon today is really 6 words long, all right? This is going to be a 6-word sermon. It's going to take me a while to get to those 6 words. But the whole message can be summed up in 6 words. Today, because I really believe, and this is going to be the keynote message of the year. This is going to be the message that's going to kick off the theme for our upcoming year. This is going to be a great 2016, and I really believe that God's given me 6 words to share with us about our theme for the year. And I'm going to kind of do this sermon. The sermon's going to be a little different. Normally, I read a scripture, and then I preach and that kind of stuff. This time I'm going to preach, and then I'm going to end by reading a scripture, all right? So we're going to do it just sort of in reverse. So just kind of get your mind. This whole service is different. So we've only had a couple praise and worship songs. I'm going to preach, and then we're going to come up and do worship at the end, and we're going to receive communion here to start the year off. So here we go. Thursdays are my day off. It's my one day off of the week and my wife's one day off of the week. And for those of you who don't know, I work another job to support my ministry habit because Life Church and shepherding Life Church is my life calling. And so you might think that since Thursdays are my only day off, that day is when I'm going to be really working on the message for Life Church and all that. But actually, I don't. I do work on the message, but just not on Thursdays. I do that actually in my free times at the other job and in my evenings and everything because I really believe that, how many believe that Sabbaths are important, that you have to take a Sabbath, that you need at least one day a week for restoration and rest. And so my wife really and I really try to honor that. And Melanie is not only my best friend and she's the love of my life, well, so on Thursdays we spend that day together, sometimes enjoying the Smoky Mountains, enjoying an activity we've never done in Gatlinburg or Sevierville or Pigeon Forge, or one day we went to Hot Springs, North Carolina. We're just finding activities, or some days we stay in Knoxville and find one of the greenways, or we'll find a restaurant we've not eaten at yet, and we'll try out a new restaurant or do that kind of thing, or we might even just go to a movie. We really try not to talk shop on Thursdays. Thursdays are a day, you know, when we try not to. You need a day when you just kind of clear yourself from all of that life stuff and just really focus on restoration, and we try to do that on Thursdays. So some days we don't feel like going very far, so we'll just go to a movie and we'll do something locally. And a few weeks ago, we had one of those days where we didn't really feel like going out to the Smokies, so we just wanted to come locally, see a movie, nothing too deep, and just have a great day together. And my son-in-law, Ben, had been to see the movie called Creed. And Creed is the latest, if you're familiar with the Rocky movies. It's the latest Rocky movie, and I hadn't even heard that it was out until Ben mentioned that he and his cousin had been to see the movie Creed and that they were really impressed with the movie and were saying glowing reports like maybe the best Rocky movie since Rocky I. And Ben's a pretty good assessment. He'll tell you what he thinks. If he didn't like it, I would have known it, but he really liked the movie, and so on his recommendation, Melanie and I went to see Creed. And Chris last week preached this message called A Setup. And I felt like when I got to the movie Creed, and I was sitting in there thinking about a light, not a real heavy movie. I'm not trying to figure out the meaning of life. I'm going to a Rocky movie. But I really feel like it was a setup because while I was watching the movie, and maybe some of you have had this experience before, I sensed the Holy Spirit talking to me. You ever do that? You're at a movie or you're at some place where you're not expecting it, and suddenly you're having this spiritual experience, encounter, and so here I am watching a boxing movie, and I got tears coming down my eyes, and I'm a mess, you know, watching the latest Rocky movie. And In the movie, I didn't hear audible words, but if I were to put into words what I sensed the Lord saying, it would be six words. And you know, Rocky is a boxing movie, and it was almost as if God was saying, you've been through a lot of boxing matches in your life. You've been through a lot of battles. You've won more of them than you've lost. But those battles have taken their toll. You ever see an old boxer? Seen Muhammad Ali lately? Those boxing matches can take their toll. And when you see this latest Rocky movie, this Creed movie, it's really clear that boxing has taken its toll on Rocky. And so I sensed the Lord saying something to me. And then not only did I sense him saying it to me, but I also sensed that what he was speaking to me was also a word for Life Church. By the way, God always deals with me before he deals with you. And so when I preach to you, I'm always preaching to me. Because that's how I get my messages. It's what's God's saying to me and wanting me to do in my life that I think will be applicable to all of us. And so that was going on during this movie. And these six words not only apply to me, but I think they also apply to you as well. And it really set out the theme for 2016. For those of you who can remember all the way back 12 months ago, a year ago, 2015 at Life Church, we called it the year of establishment. That we were going to be established in 2015. And I really believe that that's what 2015 was all about for us. Thank God we didn't have to move buildings this year. We didn't have to do any major renovations. We didn't do any of that, but we just had a year of being established here and getting our rhythms and getting our systems down. And so this past year, we've done exactly that. We had prayer in January. We had prayer in August. We did small groups in the spring, and we did small groups in the fall, and we got our system. We, in case you're not familiar, we do four things at Life Church. The four things we do are we do weekend services, we do small groups, we do our Discover Life classes, and we do Dream Team. That's what we do at Life Church, and we got those established and those rhythms down, and all of that was very good in 2015. And my personal assessment of the year 2015 is that it was just a sweet, sweet year. But the six words that the Lord spoke into my heart while I was watching this movie, and as we begin this new year, is that not only are we beginning a new year at this church, but we're also beginning a new season at the church. Now, I don't want anyone to get scared, because I don't see a lot of external changes in the offering. I'm not suggesting that we build a new building this year or anything like that. I'm not suggesting anything like that. But I do believe that because of the six words, that if we were to put them into practice, that in a way everything would change, even though we're going through the same rhythms that we have established here at the church. Now, before I go any further, I can almost read in the audience here that, you know, Phil's saying, God told me or God spoke to me. And I want to address a criticism about that, because I'm highly suspicious of people who go around saying all the time, God told me. Yet, having said that, I believe that God still speaks. How many of you would agree that God still speaks to us, right? All right, I just want to clarify that, you know, I didn't have skywriting or wasn't like audible words, but there was an impression that God put. I think God talks to me very much the way he talks to you. He gives me impressions, and he speaks to me through my emotions and he gives me a sense of things, but just having a sense of things is not enough, because you need to put those impressions into words, because it's only words that we can turn into action, right? And so God was giving me an impression during this movie, and then after reflecting on the movie, I was able to turn those impressions into words so that they can be turned into actions. Now, I'm going to share with you what those six words are, but in order for you to understand the impact of those words, it would be helpful if I shared with you a clip from the movie that could help you understand the context. Now, let me set up the little clip that I'm going to show you. If you know anything about the Rocky movies, it's helpful to know that Sylvester Stallone, the one who plays Rocky, he actually wrote the screenplay to the original movie. He was actually basically homeless at the time, wrote the screenplay and asked if he could be the actor in the movie, Rocky, and it's been a very successful series of movies in which Rocky, it shows Rocky's rise from a nobody from the streets of Philadelphia to becoming the heavyweight champion of the world. But what makes the story compelling is not just his boxing matches, but it's the story around him and what's going on in his life besides boxing. And so by the time that we get to the movie Creed, Rocky is now a middle-aged man. He's done with boxing. He's won more matches than he's lost, but those matches have taken their toll on him. He's a middle-aged man, and he's running a restaurant named Adrian's. And the reason that it's called Adrian's is because his wife's name was Adrian, and Adrian has now died of cancer. And so he has this restaurant that's named after her, Adrian's Restaurant. It's got pictures of his old boxing matches up on the walls. But he never goes down to the gym anymore. He never talks to any of the other fighters anymore. Boxing's done. He's done with it. And there's a scene in the movie where you see Rocky going to the graveyard, and he's talking to his former wife, and he's talking to his brother-in-law, who was his best friend. He's talking to them at their and he's reading them the paper. He's just talking to them at the tombstone. So you really get the picture that he's done. You know, the good things in life for him are over. His wife's gone. His best buddy's gone. He's got this restaurant that he's running, but he doesn't really want to deal with boxing very much anymore. Now, from one of the earlier movies, Rocky had fought a guy by the name of Apollo Creed. How many are with me? Anybody remember that Apollo Creed? Yeah. And Rocky really thought that Apollo Creed was the greatest boxer in the world and even better than him. In fact, he beats Apollo Creed in the movie, but he thinks it was only a lucky shot that got Apollo Creed. In fact, there was a private boxing match that they had after that publicized match where Apollo actually wins that match. But anyway, so Apollo Creed, the old boxer, ends up dying in a boxing match later that he's having. And boxing, so now not only that, his friend Apollo Creed is gone. And the premise of this movie is that Apollo Creed, and I'm not going to give away the whole movie to you, but spoiler alert if you don't want to hear this detail. Apollo Creed has had a son out of wedlock that no one knew about. And the son, the mother who Apollo had the affair with, is kind of a street person, and she ends up dying, and the son ends up in trouble in a juvenile detention facility, and he's a fighter, like his dad was a fighter, but he didn't know that his dad was Apollo Creed. His name is Adonis Johnson. And one day while he's at the juvenile detention center, a woman comes to the detention center and releases him and takes him home to stay with her. And when she gets him to her beautiful palatial house, she reveals to him that she was married to Apollo Creed. Her name is Marianne Creed, and she lets him know that Apollo was his father. And she really doesn't want him to become a boxer like his dad did, because she knew the toll that it took on her husband, And so he gets an office job, but he's not happy in his office job. There's a boxer inside of him. There's something wanting to be a fighter. And so one day he leaves Marianne a note and says that he's going off to Philadelphia to begin a boxing career. And he goes to look for the man, the only man who would beat her, his dad, which is Rocky. And so he finds Rocky in Adrian's restaurant. That's the little clip that I want to show you right now. Go ahead. A little more volume.
How did you know that? I heard about a third fight between you and the father. My uncle was good. That's it?
Every year about that.
Who won?
It's kind of a secret. We can show you there once.
We're done.
Okay. Well, did the girl say you wanted to talk about something?
Yeah, I want to talk to you about training.
Training. I don't do that stuff no more. I'm sorry about that. This is getting kind of late, kid, so I'm going to close up.
How good was it?
Oh, yeah, it was great. Perfect fight. Ain't nobody ever better.
So how'd you beat him?
Time to beat him. Time to take everybody out. It's undefeated. Anyway, I got a lot
so
of
So when he died, he came to talk to you, right? Talked you out of quitting. Took you down lane. Trained you. Brought you back.
How do you know all this?
How do you think?
What are you, like a cousin?
He's my father.
So I'm watching this movie, and I'm seeing... Now you gotta know I'm kind of entering the middle-aged guy stage of my life too. You don't have to laugh. And I'm watching Rocky. There's won more fights than he's lost, but the fights have taken their toll. And it's easy to, at that stage of life, kind of settle. Just kind of settle in and say, you know, I'm not going to stick my neck out there anymore, and I'm not going to, it's been too painful. You know, there's been more wins than there's been losses, but fighting ultimately takes its toll. And whether you know it or not, planting and growing a church and trying to be viable and do something great for God, it is a fight. It's a battle. And we are in spiritual warfare. And we are a church that hell hates. And there is an opponent and there is an enemy who would like to sift us all like wheat and who would like to destroy us. And so the six words that came to me while watching this movie was just a word from the Lord that I sense He wants to say to me and He wants to say to you this year. And here's the six-word sermon. I want to reignite your passion. I want to reignite your passion. And now let me read the scripture as we come to the end of the message. From Revelations chapter 2, it says in chapter 2, now write this, in Revelations chapter 2, it says, write this letter to the angel of the church of Ephesus. That's a fancy word for that. Actually, the pastor of the church is the messenger of God of the church of Ephesus. Write to the pastor of Ephesus, and this is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the seven golden lampstands. So he pictures these seven churches that are being written to in Revelation as having seven lampstands that are representing. So if I could just imagine for you this morning that while we're here in church in Knoxville, Tennessee, that there's a lampstand in heaven called Life Church. And there's a candle in heaven that's written. And while we are on earth, having church here in Knoxville, Tennessee, if we're to believe what Revelation says about how he's talking to these churches here, that up in heaven there's a lampstand that represents these churches. And listen what he says to the church of Ephesus. He says, I know all the things that you do, and I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. And I just want to stop there and say, you know what? That's great. And I think that as I read this passage, I read a word to Life Church. We are and you are a hard-working church. This morning I got here and there were flags set up along the road that said Life Church. And there was food on the table for people that came in. And there were people that were ready to greet us in the parking lot. And there were signs going up and there were children's workers that were arriving, and there was also already praise and worship practice going on, and there were people on the computers and in the sound booth in the back that were all serving, and the welcome people were arriving to make sure that everyone felt welcome. And I just want to say, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, Life Church, you're a hard-working church, and God says that's very good. That's very good. And not only that, but I saw your hard work and your patient endurance. It takes patience. It takes patience to hang with a vision and to be willing to see a church grow. And sometimes it's easier to go to the church that's already there where we're trying to get. You know what I mean? It's already got the kids' ministry that looks like it was designed by Disneyland. You know what I mean? That's already got, the facilities and the Starbucks coffee place in the vestibule and all of that. It's easy, but you know what? Life Church, you've been so not only hardworking, but that you've been patient. You're believing not for Starbucks and not for Disneyland Children's Ministry, but you're believing that this is going to be a place that's going to change people's lives. And you're patiently putting in the work. You're hardworking. And then it says you don't tolerate evil people. That's a compliment. It means that we're a church that it doesn't say it doesn't matter how you live. We welcome people no matter how they live. But our vision is that Life Church exists to move people from where we are to reaching their full potential as Christ followers. And so we believe in holiness at Life Church, and that as we're getting closer to God, it's going to, how many know that what happens inside of us which affects the way that we live, right? Amen. And God can change our character, and we believe in that in Life Church. And as I read these words, I just sense God saying, that's so good that you're doing that. You don't tolerate evil people. And then it says, you have examined the claims of those who say they're apostles, but they're not. You've discovered that they're liars. In other words, in the early church, there were these false apostles that were coming along, and they were trying to change the theology of the church, and they were coming in with new teachings that were not what Jesus or the apostles had taught. And can I just say that in our day today, that the same thing is happening? That there are false doctrines and false teachings, and suddenly thousands of years later, people coming along and say, "No, the Bible's not; it's not true anymore. Not for this culture, not for this day, not for this time, and it's not current." But God says to this church at Ephesus, "You didn't go for that." You didn't put up with false teaching. And one of the things that I love about Life Church is that we still here at Life Church believe that the Bible is the Word of God and that Jesus is the Son of God. And that's very important. And God says, very good, very good, very good. And then I love this little phrase. He says, you've patiently suffered for me without quitting. You didn't quit. There's a lot to be said for just not quitting. Just hanging in when you don't feel like hanging in, and just not quitting. And so God's saying, kudos to you, Church of Ephesus. And if I could just put Life Church in there, kudos to us, Life. You know, there would have been times, Judy Bagwell's here, and her husband pastored this church for years and years before we ever got here. And there would have been times, Judy, I'm sure it would have been easy to quit. Would have been easy to quit when your husband fell ill. It would have been easy to quit at times when his health gave way and he would preach. Sometimes when he didn't feel like preaching. But you know what? I just want to say thank God we're still standing. Not only we're not just surviving, but we're thriving. And I thank God for that. And the future is bright and all of that. And thank God, Judy, that you didn't quit. And patiently suffered. But then it comes to where these six words come in. But I have one complaint against you, God says. And the way that the NLT says it, it's almost haunting. It says, you don't love me or each other. It doesn't say you don't love me or each other. It says you don't love me or each other as you did at the first. And I have no, don't take this as a scold from me or from God or whatever, but here's how I want to say this. The King James that I first learned this scripture in put it this way: you've left your first love. Come on up here, Melanie, if you would. This is my first and only and one true love right here. And I remember the day that I saw her up on a platform doing a little puppet show ministry when her dad was preaching for my dad. And I said, I don't know who that girl is, but I want to know her more. And they came over to our house, and I invited her to go to the grocery store with me. And hey, I'm a romantic. What can I say? Food is the entrance to my life. But anyway. So, Melanie and I fell in love, but you know what? Marriages can I just be transparent enough with you to say that we've been married 28 years and they've been 25 of the greatest years of my life. You know what I mean? That there have been those months and moments, and there were times in our marriage where we felt more like roommates than we did like first love. And so one of the reasons Thursdays are important to us is just to reinvigorate that first love, to reignite that passion. But I can honestly say with you, 28 years ago, oh my goodness, I'm glad I made that choice 28 years ago, because I love her more now than I did back then. And I can't tell you that that's been true at every moment. There have been times when the flame has flickered, but I'm telling you, I love her more today. And so what I sense God saying to us churches is, you're doing a great job. But it's possible, and I want to go to this candle analogy here, because if there's a candle, if there's a church here in Knoxville, there's also a candle in heaven. That's our Life Church candle up there in heaven. And God says that I want you to be, you know, the reason that Taylor is not here today, our praise and worship guy. By the way, I just want to say about Taylor, he's a college student, and he stayed home all 4 weeks of December. He came back from home so he could lead worship for us, even though college is out and all that. He's really committed to the vision and what we're doing here. And I think, Melanie, that the heat vent is blowing that candle. It's about to blow it out. We can't have our candle going out. Not a good thing. That's, yeah, exactly. What was I talking about? Taylor. You know where he's at? He's at a conference called Passion. And the whole purpose of the Passion Conference, he's there just to reinvigorate his passion. And you know, Chris Oaks and I were talking the other day about how when people will go to Dollywood or something, they'll go to Dollywood and they'll hear music playing and they'll start clapping their hands. They may not even know each other, and they get excited. And there's something about church that we almost train people that you can be excited everywhere but church. I mean, I went down to New Year's Eve Market Square, and it was off the charts exciting. You know what I'm saying? I mean, people were clapping their hands. They were excited. They were jumping up. I was. If you saw the video I put on Facebook, I was fired. You get me in a fired up crowd like that, I'm fired up. And I really believe what God would say to us this year is, I want to reignite your passion, your first love for me, so that you know, we don't have to, and I'm not saying we do, but you don't have to be cheerleaders when you come here on Sunday morning and to get people pumped up. We're here to pump you up, you know what I mean? No, we don't have to do that, because there's a passion for God. And so as I'm watching this stupid Rocky movie, and I'm seeing his passion get called out in him, and this young kid saying, wait a minute, I want to be trained by you. There's still something in you, Rocky. You're not just here to run a restaurant. You're not just here to talk about your wife that died and your brother-in-law that died and all of those things that have happened in your past, but I'm not done with you yet, and there's still purpose for your life. And so I'm watching Rocky, and I'm thinking, yeah, me too. I ain't done yet. I've had some great victories in my life, and we've seen great moves of God, and we've seen great things, but I don't want to go on the Bill Gaither reunion tour and talk about, you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about all the good ways that God did things back in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. It's 2016, folks, and I'm believing for the greatest year ever at Life Church. I'm here to reignite your passion. So I want to be more passionate. I'm not pointing at you, church. I'm pointing at me. God's calling me out, and he's saying, come on, Phil. Come on, Phil. Just like that church in Illinois needed you 20 years ago, this church in Knoxville needs you to be fired up every Sunday. Needs you to come here ready and passionate for Jesus. And so, you don't love me or each other as you did at first. God, give us our first love. Look at how far you've fallen. It says, turn back to me into the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. Here's what just really freaks me out about this passage. It's possible to have church on earth with no candle in heaven. It's possible for us to have good teaching, to work hard, to not tolerate evil people, to do all of those good things that the Ephesian church was doing. But God says, I don't want you just to be a hard-working church. I don't want you just to get it right when it comes to your theology. And I don't want you just to get it right in terms of holiness and all of that. All those are great things. But God says, I want your heart. I want your heart. I want your passion. And we all have reasons, you know. There's this temptation, isn't there, in each and every one of us to settle. You know what? I put myself out a few years ago and it didn't work out so good. So I think I'll just be a nice little church member, and I'll come and I'll find my little pew and I'll warm it, and I'll come to the seat and I'll be a bench warmer, and I'll do that, and there's nothing wrong with that, and I'm going to go through life and I'm going to work and get a good job and all of that. But you know what God says? God says, that's not what I want. I want your heart. I want your heart, and I want your passion, and I want you to love me like you first loved me. And I want you to love each other like you first loved each other. Folks, you get a church that's just totally in love with God and totally in love with each other. There are no church problems in that church. You can't keep people away. And I really see that this year, God's going to do some dynamic stuff at this church. And it's going to be around this issue of passion. I don't even think this is like a scold that you're not doing something or whatever. I just think God's calling us to just to raise the temperature. You know, I had this little image. I thought, you know what? I don't want a candle in heaven. I want a bonfire in heaven for Life Church. You know? You got little candle churches up there, and there's Life Church got a bonfire up there. Oh, God, that we would not leave our first love. And so Rocky eventually invites him into the home. And then Rocky, I don't want to spoil it, but Rocky has another challenge in his life that makes him say, you know, he's done. And so I want to show you one more clip, if I can. Wait, before I do that, let me go back to the scripture. I didn't finish my scripture. I told you this sermon was only six words, didn't I? Anyone who with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, and then I love this as a Life Church thought, I will give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God. In other words, the image there is that there is, we talk a lot at Life Church about the life tree and that the trees are for the healing of the nations. So Life Church is the church that's always feeding and it's always healing. There's healing here and there's feeding here. But God says, if you'll do this thing, I'm going to pick fruit off of this life tree in heaven and I'm just going to drop it down to Knoxville. so that you're going to be able to eat from the tree of life. And so we talk about being a life-giving church. So that when people hear they're eating from the tree of life, that they're being imparted life while they're here, and that life is going to come to people as they're here. That's what my belief is, and that's what I really believe that God's six words are for us this year. I want to. I love the I want to, because it's a tender word from God. God says, I want to impart something to you this year, and I want to reinvigorate. I want to reignite your passion. And so this last clip, Rocky's chasing, facing a new challenge, and he doesn't really want to train Creed because of it. He doesn't want to fight anymore. He's been through too much already, and so we're going to see this last clip right here.
Everything I got is moved on, and I'm here. But you know what? It's okay. Because I said to myself, if I break, I ain't gonna fix it. Why bother?
I'm just some homeless living in the crib. It's nothing.
You're a good kid and a good fighter. Did you take the whole future ahead of you? Mine? Back there, that's all you got is on that wall. In the back. In the past.
It's in the back. It's in the past. And I just want to show that clip because there's some of us here today that think it's all in the past. It's all those fights on the wall. But God says, no, there's others that need us. There's people around us that need us. And he's not finished with you. Could you just turn to your neighbor and say, God's not finished with you yet? Could you turn to your other neighbor and say, the best is yet to come? Amen. Amen. The best in my marriage, the best in my career, the best in our church, the best in worship, the best is yet to come. Can I just give you permission this year that when you come and you see these guys fired up on stage and you just feel like lifting your hands, you're in a place where you can lift your hands. I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, or whatever your background is. Doesn't matter. Your heart wants to respond to God. And just let yourself respond to God. I want to reignite your passion. I want to reignite your passion. So this is not a how-to sermon. Come next week, I'm going to talk about God's gem, not Gold's gem, but God's gem, and some of the ways that we can reignite our passion, because passion isn't really ignited at church. It's ignited in solitude, and it's ignited in the gym.